another amazing guest on today's episode. Back to back, though we're not really calling this an interview, it's more of a conversation. But on the topic of being known and having your name be out there or recognized by members of a fandom, we are joined by the amazing, lovely Saber CMC once again. Back from our first episode ever. You were our first year interview, and now we're going to have another conversation, and we're going to talk a little bit about being known in fandom, the pros, the cons, the obligation, the experience, and the expectations.
And we want to say once again, in case this is the first time perhaps that you've listened to this pod, we are all aware that this is a really lovely thing to be known on a level. And at no point in this conversation is this meant to be, I don't know, I'm just reminded of the Chandler Bing quote, like, you know, my diamond shoes are too tight for my feet and my wallet is too small for my 50s. We all respect that that might be how this comes across. And that absolutely could happen. Like, nobody wants to listen to Evans and Downey talk about how difficult their life is. But at the same token, we're all humans and members of this community and this fandom, and we're not the only ones who, and me to a much less extent, who have had these conversations or who have been watching other people have these conversations. And we just wanted to be a little bit honest about what some of the process of being in fandom is like for us at this juncture.
So first of all, welcome back, Saber. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Flame. Hi, Ferret. Hi, fandom. I wanted to say that so badly.
There you go. We'll just take that and pop it at the front of the episode. All done.
Well, it's good to be back.
We're so happy to have you. I was wondering if you remember, like, did you have a moment or an experience that kind of made you go, oh, people know who I am? Was that like something that you remember, or is it more like a slow growth experience?
For me, it was really, I perceived it as a very slow growth experience. I started writing, I think, in 2014, and I don't think it really occurred to me that anybody would think of me as a big name fan, probably until the end of Celestial Navigation. I think at that point, I had gotten enough asks about that fic that I felt like, okay, people in the fandom probably do know, whether they want to or not, they probably do know who I am. But for me, it felt very slow and gradual. Of course, at that time, I was really only connected to fandom from AO3 or Tumblr, not Discord or Twitter or anything like that. So that was just my experience. And in fact, my first round of thank you fics I did when I had 100 followers on Tumblr, and the second round, which ended up being Celestial Navigation, where Ferret got me started on that one, was when I hit 1,000 followers. So it wasn't like that was back when I was, you know, like had some ginormous following or anything like that. So for me, it was very gradual. I don't know how other people saw it.
Yeah, well, that's actually, I think that's one of the most interesting things about kind of the way that fandom spaces work, is that people tend to enter the space and sort of take the immediate lay of the land and then decide that it's kind of always been that way. So it tends to be that the first people that you interact with that seem like someone knows who they are, you go, oh, okay, those are the known people. And you kind of take that first moment, you categorize everyone this way or that way. And it takes, you know, a little bit of pressure to shift those kind of views. Like, I remember being friendly with someone for quite some time, and we ended up working on a project together. And at some point it became clear that we each thought that the other person was like the long time old in the fandom that everybody else knew. And that was, we'd had that perception of each other, but we'd actually both joined fandom like 2 weeks apart from each other. And we just like happened to cross paths in such a way that we were like, oh, this person already has like an established blog and some stuff on AO3 and people know their name. So this is one of the known people. And we did that to each other. And then we're kind of like, oh, we're actually like, we've been here the same amount of time. So I do think that that, like, what it looks like to other people is kind of a critical aspect of this whole conversation, because everyone has their own, like, Venn diagrams of how they see the other members of fandom.
Yeah, because I think so much of this BNF, which I'm using air quotes as I say it, every time I say it, I realize it, because I don't love that idiom, I guess, in a way. And I don't know, I like this known entity a little bit better, but it sounds, I think, like somebody's Bucky's going to assassinate at some point. I'm a little bit nervous about that, but I don't believe that I am known at all. And it was very shocking to me when other people began to use that terminology for me, because I associated being a known entity as having a lot of, like, I mean, I guess the level of interaction on servers or in stats that the two of you do, which I am nowhere near. And as I shouldn't be, because I am, as we've discussed, a fandom fetus, and you two have done a lot more work than I have. But it was really overwhelming to me, because it was happened to be slung at me in a very accusatory way, and not a positive or kind way. The first time I got called like a BNF, I was really shocked. I had no idea that was a word that people thought about me. And it was very, I think I went into like 7 different DMs and I was like, am I really? And every single one of those people was like, yes, yes, Flame. I was like, oh shit. I had no idea. I really didn't. So I think some of it is this interesting idea of what does it mean to be known, I guess. And like what Ferret said, it's this intersection of what other people perceive you as, I guess, versus kind of the standards of the fandom. Like, I mean, there are some levels of clout. Like, you do, I think, have to have a larger presence on Tumblr. I would think that a lot of people assume that, especially in Stony, like if you rattle off some of the names, it's the names of the fics that get recommended all the time. I think one of our more famous artists would be Pineapple, who I just spoke to. But I think, so for me, that's the catch in a way, is like, how often your works get recommended. But I don't know, obviously that's not the cash for other people. So that fascinates me too. How do we measure this?
Yeah, I actually, when I first joined Fandom Community Spaces, I was part of a Discord for fan fiction in general that was pretty small when I joined, and got pretty big by the time I drifted out of it. And I became a mod there fairly early on, because as I say, it wasn't that big and I was present a lot because I got nothing better to do. And I was friends with some people who were already mods, including Ashy. And the mod team in that server was sort of inherently BNF-y within the server, simply because of the way the server was set up and how quickly it grew and how big it became. So it's sort of like there's also this factor of you can be a BNF in one circle and not in another circle. And those circles are smaller, potentially smaller than like fandom space as a whole. Like, I'm sure there are people who have tons of followers on Twitter in Stony who are posting amazing stuff, or, you know, have all these friends and conversations and are very active in that community. And I've just never heard of them because I don't go on Tumblr or on Twitter very much. So there's like 17 different intersections of what people think when they joined fandom. Have you produced anything that got passed around a lot? Like, essentially, like, inner fandom virality, even if that's like meta posts, stuff like that. Are you in a position of authority anywhere on a server for events? And those things kind of add up, you know? We have people who I would consider BNFs within the POT server that are such because they do a lot of baiting or they find a lot of fix, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then the different, I mean, what's fascinating to me too, is like when I first joined Discord, I didn't really understand what mods did. So I thought the two of you were mods and POTs because you talked so much. love you both. And then
I've been accused of being a POTS mod before.
I know what you're talking about.
And then the longer I've been around, and now that I mod things myself, like, absolutely, there's no way I would want to mod POTS.
Bless those of you that do. We love you.
We love you so much. It's a whole different ballgame than being a member in a way. And yeah, that's what fascinates me is the number of people I talk to. They're like, I don't actually know who the POTS mods are. And I'm like, I think they like that way.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting that on the other server, it was like expressly part of the culture that the mods were sort of treated a certain way. And like people wrote fics about us, like shipped us. There was art of us. It was very much like I don't even know what to call it, but it was like an inherent BNF-iness that the culture just supported about the people who were in a position of authority there. And it didn't matter whether, because it was so many different fandoms that if you had a lot of fics or, you know, high statistics or whatever, it didn't matter because nobody interacted on that level. And it was just about your role in that community that mattered to them.
Well, that's interesting then, because so many Marvel servers are ship specific. And so like, that's just been one of the nature of it appears the Marvel Discord space. And so like wrecking the BNFs then would almost seem to be those who produce the most popular work.
Yeah, I think that
rather than those who run the server.
Yeah, yeah. So because this one couldn't really, there was so little overlap in fandoms, like quite literally you'd be lucky if you found someone. I found the one other person, the two other people in my fandom at all, in MCU at all. And I'm still friends with both of them. And one of them is Ashy. And that was in a 1400 person server. So like the number of fandoms, I can't even begin to tell you that were in this server. And so the inherent quality of that was that, I mean, it almost goes to show that humans have that innate desire to put some people on pedestals, because even in this environment where they had so little to go on to pick who they were going to revere, it still happened. They were like, okay, it must be the mod team because they have authority. And there was nothing else they could really lift people up as, because we didn't connect on very many other levels. And that's just, you know, it's an inherent part of human nature. We can't stop it. We love celebrities.
Yeah, and we love hierarchy, even when we claim we don't. Yeah. Like, because there's a level at which there's times where we all want to not be in charge of something. Yeah. And other times we want to be in charge of everything. And I think in a lot of ways, fandom lets people put on and take off those roles that may or may not correspond to their lives. So Saber, bringing you back into this, what has been a really great part of being, I guess, a brand?
Oh gosh. Well, you know, as I've said before, I have never really been popular at anything in my life. So this is a bit of a new and unique experience for me. For me, the best part was always getting to feel like I was a part of something, like I was contributing in some way. You know, this idea that there were people out there who were reading what I had written and they cared about the works and they were made happy by the works. And, you know, in some ways it touched them. The words that I put on a page, you know, reached out and touched people. I just always thought that was really amazing. I mean, I obviously started much later in life writing. Even though I've always loved creating stories, I just did it in my head. And so this whole notion that, you know, just all these people out there have enjoyed what I've done, you know, it felt very validating. And that has always made me feel good. And so I guess for me, that's been the, sorry, there are cats in here. That's been the most fulfilling part. And, you know, getting to meet people, it's going to sound pathetic when I say this out loud, but it's not. But I don't really have friends in real life. That's by choice. I'm very introverted and I'm okay completely with that situation. So my social life pretty much exists online where I can control it and can have, you know, or at least to some extent have control and make decisions about how much interaction I'm comfortable with. So that's been a very positive thing for me. When I started getting involved in fandom, my daughter was still young and I think I was really searching for some identity for myself other than just being someone's mom, which I felt like I had been for about 8 years, and I had kind of lost myself a little bit. So I was able to get a little bit of myself back through fandom. And, you know, I've gotten to meet so many great people, and that has been fantastic for me personally. So, you know, like Flynn was saying in the beginning, I mean, even though probably some of this conversation is going to devolve into complaining, overall, this has been a wonderful experience. And I wouldn't want anybody to think otherwise. It's, you know, really has helped me through a lot of things, particularly this past year. And so I'm deeply grateful to this community for what it has given me.
Yeah, I think that resonates with all of us. Ferret, what has been your greatest gift?
Yeah, I definitely agree with the, I mean, I've had been reading fanfic for so long, and like honestly writing in my head without realizing that's what I was doing for so long, and then writing original stuff, and it I can't believe it took until my 20s for me to say I could write it. Like, it wasn't that I didn't think I could, in the sense that I wasn't like capable of doing it. It just never occurred to me that I could start writing it and posting it. And so I consumed so much of it, and it brought me so much joy and was so important for my creative development and just so stimulating, and then also a comfort when things were hard, that to know that I'm like giving back to what I got from fandom, like to hear from people that I was able to give them some of the experiences that I had when I was mostly just reading, has been really great for me. I think that's one of the, like, sort of seeing that reflection, like if I just getting to know that it makes, that sometimes my work makes people happy. Like that's something that the more reach you have, or the more seen you are, the more you get that kind of feedback, and the more you see people are reading stuff, and the more your stuff gets passed around so people have the opportunity to read it. And I'm really grateful for that, because every time someone tells me that it made their day better, that makes my day better. So those little punches of joy are really good. And yeah, it's hard to say, like, obviously, like Saber, I'm so grateful for the community, and I've made so many friends. And this is a big part of my social life too. The people that I have I find in person challenging. And I like having my social life in my phone so I can set it down or pick it up. My life is also very interrupty. It's just constantly getting interrupted. So knowing that that isn't going to end a friendship, because the nature of our culture is that people come and go during the day, during the hour, during the week, during the year. And you know, there's still going to be a space for you. And some of that is also, you know, you can, if you know people know you and like you and have made space for you already, you feel more comfortable knowing that that chair is still going to be open if you go away and come back. And that's something I'm really grateful for in the community spaces that I'm in, is people making some space for me and saving me a seat and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a power in knowing that you're missed in a way. And, you know, we've all taken server breaks and we've all walked away for a little while. And it's always really lovely to say, I'm like, how have you been? I haven't seen you in a while. And in fandom spaces, it's not a social obligation to say that, where it usually is at like a party I end up at. On Discord, people generally mean it. And that's a gift. I think the ideas of community and making people happy are also very universal. That's what, when we ask people throughout the year that we've been doing this, which still boggles my mind. This feels like we've both been doing this for 10 years and that we started doing it last week somehow. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the community aspect is incredibly important, whatever that looks like for people. I love, one of my favorite parts of meeting folks for MTH was finding circles of friends that I didn't interact with because we're not in the same ship, but getting to know these people that had these favorite authors and what this kind of looks like and how it works. And I'm hoping it's one of the things I'm looking forward to this season on the pod is introducing some other ships to our conversation so that we can make new friends in a way. And so that has been incredibly important. I think the nature of this year in particular, those of us in fandom who are used to having internet friends and communicating entirely through text or our phones at all, generally we've seemed to fare a little bit better than some of my friends who have never had to do life not in person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to, you know, discount that piece of it. And yeah, I mean, like one of my favorite things on the STB server that you and I mod with Moody Ferret is our brag bucket channel, where folks can just come in and say like, hey, you know what? I was kind of a badass today and let me tell you about it. And then we can celebrate them. And over again, I think like every creator that's been in that space has said like, look at this comment that I made someone's day, or like this thing that I did affected people's life positively. And we all know that incredible gift that comes when somebody takes the time to tell you that you changed them somehow. And that's universal. It's not just like, yes, Ferret, you said it's because, you know, y'all's names are more known. And so more folks have read those things, and the numbers game, the law of large numbers, the numbers game is bigger, but the essential core of it, it just means that you're members of fandom, because this is what the good parts of fandom can do, is those moments where you have family on your phone. That whose voices you may never know what they sound like, and you have no idea what their offline life is. But in the moments where you're together and you intersect in this virtual world, they are authentic and real and home. And it's why we're all on family, you know, sluts in a way. It's just because it's what people who resonate with fandom resonate with in fic often.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, really, really lovely, and a piece that connects us all, whether we're writing entirely for ourselves and there are zero kudos on our fics, or we are, you know, sci-fi girl who is known for literally abominating canon and creating an entirely new character. hi, Sci, we love you.
I'm sorry, I ruined everyone's day with that. I'm never going to live it down. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you, I read fics now with Butterfingers in it, and I just giggle thinking about how you are somewhere in Canada furious. It's one of the universal things. And I think that's really important to know and remember. I think I had this perception that once I hit a certain point, comments wouldn't, or I shouldn't say that for me. I remember the very first time, Saber, I commented on one of your fics and you replied back. And
did I? How nice of me.
I know now that this is rare, how I must have been super special. But you said something like, it's so nice to get comments on older fics. So I must have, I think I commented on what happened in Vegas. And and you said it was so nice to get a comment on an older fic. And that really stuck with me, because I thought of all of you guys before I knew you in community as like the authors I read in traditional books, or who have like made it and don't need encouragement and, you know, don't really, like, they just know they're good, quote unquote, which by the way is true for no human being, but it is often the thing we assume about people that we don't know. I need this encouragement, but that person doesn't, because that person is better than I am, or that person is more established, or they have so many comments, why do they need another one? And I know now from doing life with people who get a ton of comments and who get more kudos and things than I do, that you still cherish every single moment someone takes a time to tell you that they liked something you did. And
oh, you do. You definitely do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a universal human experience that I think we're not quite as honest about enough.
It's actually, I think that like we can pretty like effectively say that someone's fandom experience is just, there's like a curve of all the various ways that you can be interacting with a community. And that curve just kind of scales up depending on how interactive or how known or how widespread or how, you know, broad you are, or what kind of events you run or anything like that, or how much you tweet, can sort of push you along that curve. And I was actually just talking to Mr. Ferret today about like some measures of personality things, or like he was getting like a performance review thing. So we were talking about how there can be qualities of a person that are good and good and good and good and good up to a point. And when they become that extreme, they can lean into bad or difficult or controversial or what have you. So we were talking about how, like, if you have kind of an obsessive personality, for example, it means that you might learn a lot of things really fast, or you can get stuff done, or you'll stay up all night and like just accomplish something amazing. But if you keep pushing that behavior further along the line, it hits a point where you're ruining your sleep schedule and you're ignoring other things that you need to do, and that kind of thing. And I think some of these things with fandom can also, like, this level of interaction or the expectations people have of you or your relationship with your statistics, it's all the same. It's just where that bar gets moved along the graph. I'm doing a lot of hand gestures you guys can't see, and I'm sorry about that.
Oh my gosh, if this was a video podcast, all you would see is the two of us talking with our hands, so.
We were talking earlier about how, you know, the goalposts always move as far as number of kudos, number of comments, you know, that there's never like a certain number that you hit and you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm good now. Yeah. You know, it just doesn't mentally work like that. I will say, in all honesty, it is easier to deal with the negative comments for me now, you know, being in the position I'm in. Maybe that is just a numbers game. I don't know. But, you know, if you assume that, you know, everybody gets a certain percentage of negative comments, I probably get more than most just because I get more comments than a lot of people. But it is easier to deal with them. I will say that, you know, I feel like I have this built up, you know, like backstop of good comments. Yeah, that I can and do go reread. And in fact, yeah. I was just rereading comments the other day.
Me too.
I needed a pick-me-up. Yeah, I do that all the time. And so I will say it is easier to deal with those negative comments, which I do get. I shared some with y'all the other day. You know, so just like everybody else, I get those too. But I do, most of the time I can just delete it, or I'll say something, you know, this isn't the fic for you or whatever. Every once in a while, I'll say something snarky, but it is, I think it does help to have that buffer, as you said, of all these other nice comments. So there, that is definitely a benefit of having a large readership.
Yeah. Does it help you too to do, because for me, sometimes it's easier to do the negative comments if I'm, the more I've gotten to know people. So like, if I can go and have other people tell me that that's not how they read the fic, or that's not, like, that helps me too. Does that buffer help you guys?
Yeah, for sure. Just like a general sense of an understanding of how the average person is going to take the way that I write, you know, like having X number of words out there in the world and the average of the response that I get makes it easier for me to be like, this person is an outlier. This person's knuck and futz, and they're just having a day and they're taking it out on me. And that's easier to say when there's enough built up experience of people saying, I read this the way that you intended me to read it. Or this, I found this supportive, or I found this accurate. It's easier to say, yeah, you're an outlier, so I'm going to leave you off the graph. You're a statistical anomaly, so I don't need to make space for you.
I've gotten used to saying, this is not the fic for you, is kind of my standard response to most negative comments. And I mean that genuinely. This just isn't the fic for you. It was written for other people who enjoyed it, and this is just not the one for you. And I can manage to not take it so personally when I put it in that context. That works for me most of the time, not 100% of the time.
Yeah, there's a difference between like too, and I don't know if you guys feel this way, but between like, I didn't like this, or someone like nitpicking, like, I don't think you did Tony right, or blah, blah, blah. Or some of the more hateful ones, like I got told to leave fandom forever a couple months ago now. And so there's also a gradation of like the ugly. So like the ugliest ugly, there's absolutely no, like, I will never forget reading that comment. And on the days that I like fandom is hard or other things are difficult or whatever, that's the comment I think of first, that person was speaking for everybody who just is too tired to speak, and that everybody does really want me to leave fandom. Those are still really hard for me to deal with. Absolutely no matter what. Thank you, spokesperson for Stony.
Yes, on behalf of fandom, we do not.
Thank you very much. This fic is not for you comments are, I agree with you, are much easier to deal with now that I have an average of like most people who subscribe to me seem to like my fics, so we're good, like that's fine,
right.
But the truly ugly ones, oof, they're still mind fucks for me.
Well, when it's personal,
yeah, everyone has their own like personal triggers, I think. Like everyone has the thing that like gets under their skin. And there's a lot that I'm capable of just disregarding, like you're not bar, I don't care. The thing that always grinds my gears is when people assume they know something about me because of some art I've shared. And they say things like, I know you feel this way, so I don't know why you wrote it this way. Or I know you're an X fan, or you prefer this or that. Or I'm like, yeah, I know you. So I'm making assumptions. Oh, that just makes me want to do a murder every time.
I should have directed the bottom Steven on to you.
Yeah, I'm getting them too. The thing that drove me crazy was specifically the way that person was like, I know you like this better, so I don't know why you're kidding yourself. I know you. And I was like, you don't fucking know me. That was rough.
Yeah, I think when it crosses the line from you didn't, you know, write this character well, or you messed up something in the story or whatever, into something personal about you, you know, that's the hard part to deal with for me. And, you know, what happened a few months ago was, you know, basically that it was somebody saying, not just I don't like this story that you wrote, but I don't like you, and I think the fact that you wrote this story means these things about you, horrible things. And you know, that was where it really for me crossed a huge line that I didn't even really quite know was there until it was crossed. And it, you know, that was just kind of for me a point where that was too much and I needed to just pull back. And y'all were wonderful about everything and very helpful. You know, but those kinds of things are just so much harder to deal with, like Flame was saying, when it's this personal attack on you as a human being, existing in fandom, the idea that you're doing something harmful, that you're hurting people, when, you know, I'm in this to have fun and to, you know, make the world a better place in some small way, as cliche as that sounds. So to have that, you know, just twisted around like that, that's hard. That's really hard. And I know we're not the only ones. I know just, you know, by virtue of being big name fans, whatever that means, you know, we're certainly not the only ones who get attacked like that. But you know, you just are more well known. And that's the reality. And I know in my situation, the person who kind of was the one stirring things up, you know, flat out said that the reason it was aimed at me was because I was well known and the story was well known. So it was, you know, deliberately done, you know, for that reason. And that part is hard to deal with, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I think that there's almost this assumption that, and you see it in like celebrity culture, which is a totally different thing. Like people who have PR people and whole lives revolved around being personas have structures and protections and expectations that people who write fanfic don't have and weren't prepared to take on. But because of the way our culture sees this quality of being known, it can mean that they have an expectation of everybody that they think is sort of above them on this scale of popularity or celebrity or knownness. And that it's fair to punch up because they're punching up, not down. And so inherently somehow that makes it okay. And that makes it sometimes even a noble thing to do, as if hitting up in your eyes is somehow always okay. And that it's never, you know, we can talk about like dismantling bad systems and stuff like that. But this concept that, like you deserve to be extra criticized because you're extra popular is something that I struggle to have any sympathy for.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't have any sympathy for it, I'll be honest. Especially because in the spaces that we're talking about fictional things with that bring joy to real life people. And the kind of warfare that goes on is just exhausting. And I think I've seen talk about this on the servers and some other stuff like this, but I feel like as the pandemic has dragged on, fandom as in general has gotten more snippy.
There's a tone.
And there's some attention. Some of the criticism has gotten angrier and the positivity has gotten scarcer. And I know we're all tired. I'm not like, I mean, I spend my days researching collective trauma that we're all dealing with and how we go forward from here and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, which is why I spend so much time at night reading and writing porn, because we all need coping mechanisms right now. But it and all the time. But this nature of everything is terrible in my personal life, and so I'm going to take it out on a stranger on the internet, seems to have increased in the last couple months.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, we can talk about like parasocial relationships that people have with celebrities or people for whom they have created a persona that's based on a public perception. And I think that like punching bag can be part of that. They can be one of those types of relationships you can build. Like, and it can, you know, perhaps it comes out of a resentment that other people have something that you feel your life would be better if you had, or just because they're accessible. Or again, that feeling that it's justified if you're punching up. But it does seem like, you know, maybe there's a percentage of people who will always lash out on others when they're not feeling their best. And many of them haven't felt this bad in a while. And so we're seeing an up curve of people who don't have another more appropriate vent for their frustrations. And yeah, I mean, I get it. We are all tired. But again, we are all tired. And we're all hurting from this and we're all struggling. And so to add more negativity to the world seems counterproductive to me. You're just more likely to get it right back at you, aren't you?
I mean, I certainly think so, especially with the internet.
It's been interesting having, you know, watched different fandoms over my now 45 years. It does seem like this whole notion of, you know, purity culture, to some degree, it comes around every time, every, you know, so often you see it showing up again. And I wonder if that's sort of connected to what we've gone through this past year with, you know, this need to, people are hurting and upset. And so there's kind of this thought of, well, if I can just make this space better for me, and safer for me, so I feel secure, you know, maybe there's something to that. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. I just write, you know, porn about superheroes. It is interesting that it's coincided with the whole pandemic thing, that we're seeing an uptick in that, and not just in Stony, but, you know, seems like in a number of fandoms there've been issues.
Yeah. I think that plays into it too for a lot of people. And even just like, you know, if I can control this one thing, I'll feel like I have more control over my life. If I can improve this one thing, right, I'll have a safer place. If I can just, yeah, that's definitely, I mean, I think the vast majority of people are experiencing more anxiety this year than they normally do on average, and trying to control things you feel are controllable is a classic coping mechanism for anxiety. And a lot of people maybe don't have the self-awareness of how they process anxiety if they're not naturally anxious people, to realize that that's what they're trying to do. So, you know, a self-awareness is probably part of it too.
Oh, to not be an anxious person. Like, yeah, right? My life. I would love to not have this very well-developed coping set of skills. My gracious, God love you all. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Turns out there are people out there who do not have anxiety.
Oh my God, honestly, bless you.
But that actually brings me around to another thing I've been sort of mulling over for quite some time, really. And that's this, I mean, we can talk about like the expectations of people who we feel are known. And some of that is even a feeling of obligation that like, oh, but we are the people who lifted you up. We are the people who give you that feedback, those kudos, that attention. And therefore it circles back around into these expectations that you owe us something in return. And there is obviously like a cycle of what do creators owe their consumers? What do consumers owe their creators? And I feel like that is a huge conversation that we will be having for years to come. But specifically talking about this concept of a BNF, do you think that people who are considered a BNF, do they have an obligation to somehow strive to be best or better in some way? Do they have an obligation to be a role model? Do they have an obligation to be extra nice to people? Do they have an obligation to be diplomatic and like try to diffuse discourse?
I don't know that I think that there's an obligation, you know, in the sense of you have to. I will say when I was new to the fandom, I had those feelings of wanting the people I considered big name fans to do more. I did have those feelings. I wanted them to, you know, be more proactive about helping, you know, newer and smaller writers like me at the time, you know, to get known and to be more of a positive force in the fandom. I wanted that, of course. I had those feelings. I think that's pretty normal. But I was an adult enough not to actually expect it and go demand it of them. And that's kind of where the line is for me. You know, it's normal to want that type of thing from people, but the way that sometimes a few, and I, you know, I do think it's a small portion of the fandom, can feel that they are entitled to that mental energy from you and that time from you, it can be overwhelming. And, you know, as I've said before, my feeling on how I wanted to interact with fandom was that I should be the kind of fan that I wanted others to be. And I've said that from the beginning. And for me, that means trying to be positive, trying to be kind, trying to help where I can, reblogging fic and art, doing Reckless, leaving comments, you know, whatever I can do to lift people up, I feel a personal obligation to do that, because that is how I want my fandom experience to be. But I don't think that there's some obligation to do that existing outside of the one I put on myself. And I know others are, you know, are going to react differently to how they want to interact with fandom. And we all have to figure out what works best for us that keeps us around. I mean, the goal is to keep these creators, all the creators, not just the big ones, but to keep creators around and encourage new ones. And we're not going to do that if we are constantly demanding things of them. But do I like to do it? Yes, I do. I take a lot of pleasure in being able to lift people up where I can and make people feel good. And I don't think I have to. It's just something that for me personally is a driving force in what I want to do in fandom. But that does, you know, that doesn't mean that that's necessarily always the right way for everybody else to be. And I know a lot of people feel differently, and that's just not how they want to have their fandom experience. I'm also very good at, you know, getting other people to do what I want to make my fandom experience better, like start a pod. So I like to, you know, kind of outsource some of my do-gooding where I can.
And some of your prompts.
And some of my prompts, I happily share those, as you well know.
What a gift.
And yeah, so, you know, so I like to spread the do-gooding around when I can.
I agree with you that there's no obligation, but it's interesting when Farid asked that question, I took it in a really different place in my mind where I thought about how people in any position of like leadership or authority. So this is where it gets into like that BNF sometimes really overlaps with people who mod events, mm-hmm. Or who mod servers. So that is, so I take it very seriously as somebody who has this pod and has created this platform, but who is also in charge of, you know, with other people, but two servers. And then the responsibility I have as part of the MTH team to create safe environments for people to flourish in their fandom. And as part of that, I recognize that there are conversations I can't have in public. There are opinions I can't share in public. There is a base level of human decency that I treat everyone with, even when it tries my patience, because that is also what leadership means to me. And that is part of providing these spaces, the little ways that I can, or helping to provide these spaces is part of that. And there are other fandom creators and other fandom podcasts and other fandom event mods who don't share that with me and who say whatever they want and behave however they want and do whatever they want. And that's fine. That is not to, in terms of the way you were talking, Saber, about personal ethic, that's not my personal ethic. My personal yeah. ethic is that if you are in charge of things, you are human starting gun and your words come with power. And you need to, as often as possible, I mean, we all make mistakes. We're all human. I can give you an alphabetical list of the ways I fucked up at work in the last 2 weeks with some of my employees. Because that's what we do. We're human bumper cars and we're constantly, you know, bumping into each other. On the whole, I know my words carry power and I need to wield those responsibly. And so I do think about, there are times where I am too tired to comment or I ran out of spoons too. And I do push myself to do it because that person is in my server. Or I know like they shared a couple weeks ago in somewhere that I was in that they were really feeling low. And so I will put them before me for sure and try to be especially who they need at that moment. And so I think that overlaps a little bit with what you're saying, Saber, but I know it's a different tact, but I do feel that there is a certain element of, especially if you're going to take a leadership, an actual leadership role, not just that you write a whole lot of fic and people kudos it, but if you're going to take an actual leadership role in a fandom space, there is an obligation of kind and collegial behavior. I do.
I think I have like yet a third overlapping perspective because I agree that, and for me personally, when I am in a space where I have taken a leadership role, if I'm a mod or running an event or, you know, I've stepped up in some way to be responsible for something, then I am careful to to act and speak and treat people, you know, in a more professional way. Like, I consider that a professional environment and I treat it like a professional environment. And that's not to say my baseline isn't respecting people, but I take an active effort to make space for people. And if I only make promises I know I can keep, and I will do whatever I need to do to make sure that that happens. And if I've taken on a responsibility, it's deeply important to me. And so those places where I have taken on a leadership role, I believe I need to be my best self or my professional self. You worded it better, but I'm not sure how. So just take what Flame did and say, I agree with that part. And then, but then I am not a naturally, I'm not a natural cheerleader in any way. And I admire both of you so much for being able to be that for people and actually finding joy in being other people's support systems and comforts. And especially when it comes to providing praise, something I am supremely terrible at. And this isn't like self-deprecating. It is legitimately one of the things that is not part of who I am. And part of it is that I had a lovely childhood. You've met my mom. She's great. But praise wasn't part of the way that we enjoyed and loved each other. And so it's just something I don't get. I don't know what it is people want to hear when they want to hear something nice. So I acknowledge that I'm bad at it. And if people expect me to be that, I will treat everybody with respect. I respect everybody's space and voice in our community. And I am here to make all that space for people. And I admire people who can provide that praise for each other. I'm not one of them. So I like to think that the best puzzle piece of a community is people doing the things that they're good at and the things that they will actually follow through with, all pieced together to make a space that has all of this power in it. So I have made the conscious choice to not push myself to do things that take me an inordinate amount of time, like replying to comments on my fix. I'm so grateful for them, but it was occupying every spare moment and every brain cell I had trying to say thank you to people because I'm so bad at it. And instead of saying, oh, I must get better at this if I'm going to be a valuable member of the community, I said, I'm going to make up for the fact that I can't do this by being the best member of the community I can be in the ways that I can do things. So I put my hand up when C was starting MTH and I said, I will stay up all night making a website if that's what needs to be done, because that's something I can do and I can do it well. And I'm so excited to have that opportunity to give back to fandom. So when I run into brick walls, it's when people have expectations of me to be somebody that I'm not, because it's something other people are very good at. And it can make me uncomfortable sometimes that the BNFhood that was given to me by the community, and I don't want to be like that I didn't ask for, but in a sense, it wasn't something that I sought out actively. The result is sometimes that people expect me to be a person that I'm not. And I don't think that I am a bad or unlikable person. And I don't think I'm a bad friend, but there are many things I am bad at. And they think they want me to do those things, but they really don't, because it's tragic when I try. So sometimes that intersection of expectations and then what it actually means to be a good community member doesn't have to be the same thing for everybody. And respecting and caring about every member of the community doesn't look the same for everyone. And I think it's actually kind of amazing that we can have space for people who do all these things in different ways, and that we have such a diverse community that you can be like, hey, I need somebody to read 15K and tell me how wonderful I am. And there are people with their hands up. And you can say, hey, I need somebody to tell me where all the commas are missing. And you've got people with their hands up. And you can say, I need somebody to teach me how to use Photoshop. And you've got people with their hands up. Like, if we can all put our hands up for the things that we are beautiful at, then combined, we have this incredible force. But if you're you're expecting others to put their hands up for all the things you wish they would put their hands up for. You're kind of setting yourself up inevitably for disappointment one way or the other. Either they're going to say yes and then not do it, they're going to say yes and do it poorly, or they're going to say no. And either way, those aren't going to be good for you. So I guess that's my relationship with it.
That makes sense. It was funny when you first asked the question, it was like, does everybody have an obligation to be nice? My immediate thought, and I say this in entire love, was, well, then you're fucked. That's not, like...
I know. I own that completely. We've had this conversation a lot of times.
It's one of the reasons that I like, we've talked about this before, but it's one of the reasons that I think we work really well is that we are both very upfront about this is who I am and this is who I'm not. And the, yeah, I mean, I've said it to you, and so I'll say it on the pod. Like, some of the most frequent questions I get are, why doesn't Ferret like me? Which, first of all, like, aww. I want to say this right now. Like, I'm not Ferret's keeper. but I don't know. I'm not in her brain. But my honest answer is always, like, it is some version of, you're putting an expectation on her that she is not, it's not personal. This is her personality. And when they're
she's
asking
just
that,
a what shit person at her core.
Honestly, she's just
that is
a bitch.
Not true.
Not true.
I know
at all,
that is not true.
But what they're expecting you to be is me or Saber.
My love language is building websites. You. So, like, if you guys need a website, if you want me to show how much I love you, ask me to build you a website. Because
well, you must love me a lot.
So
you
much.
All of a website.
I've built a website for each of you two. So
it's entirely
multiple
true.
Ones for Flame.
I have one
love language, and it's acts of service.
Yeah, it's spreadsheets. Like, honestly, I tell people this, and they think I'm joking, and I'm like, legit. If you need help with tech, ask Ferret. She loves to do it. And it's this. So there's one aspect of community that came to mind when both of you were talking. And it's the fact that unlike celebrity, true celebrity in the way that, like, you know, we think about it, people in fandom community that are known in the community are generally going to reflect the values of that community. So if
they're also part of the community in a way that celebrities generally aren't part of their own community. Like,
exactly.
The one that we get to see is not real. That's not their actual community spaces.
No. And I'm sure, I mean, like there's every celebrity has a secret Instagram and, you know, like all that kind of stuff.
But we're just so here.
We're just here. This is always us. Even behind our avatars or our names, we said it before, anyone who wants to figure out who any of us are probably can if they really wanted to. Like, it's always us. We are always our full selves. And so that means that if the community values kindness, the kind people are going to become more known in a way. If the community values honesty and hard work, then the people who are honest and hard workers are going to be known. People who are liars and cheats aren't going to be known, and they're not going to find foothold in that community. And so in a way, it's a fascinating sociological study to look at who are BNFs in different fandoms to, in a certain way, see how their behavior in fandom reflects their community values, and kind of what that looks like. And I want to reiterate what Ferret said about that everyone should put up their own hand for what they're good at. Because what I hear from some people who are younger in fandom, chronological age irrelevant, but younger in fandom, is that they feel there's a certain set of things they have to do to be liked or known. So I need to mod an event. I need to do a bang so I can know people. I need to reach this certain threshold. I need to do this certain checklist so that I can be known in the community. And I think that's first of all, that's something that I would have thought when I was younger in fandom. It's certainly how I behaved in fandom in my teens and 20s. But on kind of this end of it, what I've realized is that really what people want is that you just show up. That's how you get known. That's how you know people. You just show up. You are in the servers that bring you joy. You're in the comment sections of authors that you like. Even if you're a lurker, you are a reblogger, or you like things with emojis, or I always love it, by the way, when I'm in a Discord server and someone likes something I said and I don't know that person's name, because it's like, it reminds me that community is bigger than I think it is. And I want to know that person, but I don't want to be creepy and DM them and be like, hi, can we be friends? Because I am a human puppy that scares people. But know that every time you've ever liked something, if we've never talked, I've wanted to DM you and ask if we can be friends. And that is, that's how you do it. There's not a checklist. There's not a set of obligations in that way that we just talked about. There is just doing the work, and doing the work means doing life.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people, you know, particularly with Discord, which has gotten so big, they do feel, I think, a little overwhelmed with that and a little locked out in some ways, because, you know, that can be, you know, it can feel like there's maybe only 20 or so people who are posting sometimes. But you do, you know, like you were saying, Flame, you really just have to put yourself out there if that's what you want. There's nothing wrong with just lurking. And, you know, I largely do that in a lot of spaces. I don't really participate in many other fandoms, and that's fine. But if you want that, then you really do have to sort of, you know, just throw yourself in the ring and go for it. Because, you know, and I wished, like I said, when I first started out, that people were better about reaching out to me. But that's just not how it works for the most part. You've really just got to put yourself in there. And if that's what you want to make happen. I really admire Ferret a lot for a lot of reasons. But my perception of Ferret is that you do not allow yourself to be manipulated or guilted into participating in fandom in a way that you don't want to. And I think that's very healthy and, you know, probably better for your long-term fandom happiness.
Says the person who tricked me into starting a podcast.
What? I know what you're talking about. But for people who are not me, you're not easily manipulated. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
I mean, for anyone who doesn't know the three of us and is listening to this and is a little bit weirded out, the thing that Saber is really good at is encouraging Ferret and I both to do the things we already wanted to do and didn't for any reason. So she's not actually a puppet master as many times as we joke she is. Her, like, she just knows us really well. we're not actually that difficult to know on that level. You can dangle some things in front of us and we'll jump. So don't think that this is some sort of, we're doing a lot of joking here.
That is true. The number of times y'all have sent me, you know, that that's bait meme. I think I've lost count.
Yeah. I mean, like any Ferret love fest I love to do because it makes her so uncomfortable,
oh my
but
God, don't start.
You can mute it. No, but I think the boundary thing is really important because I am definitely somebody who fell in face first. I mean, I just burst into Stony and Stucky and Stuccony. I burst into Marvel like the Kool-Aid man and was like, here I am, you know, like, which is how I burst into most things in life. I just kind of show up and then figure out the lay of the land later. I wish I was somebody who sat back and figured out things first, but I'm not. I always learn through doing. That's just what I've always been. But one of the things that knowing people who have been around particular fandom longer than me has gifted me, and Ferret is my particular example of this, and as are you, Saber, as we've known each other this year, gotten to know each other this year, is understanding the rhythms of what burnout could look like. Like, I remember when we first started talking about the pod and I was like, well, I'm doing all these events, and Ferret laughed and was like, yeah, I remember when I was like that. You don't have to do that. You know, like, you don't have to. And now I look at some folks and I was like, you don't have to do the bang. I promise. The bang will happen without you. If you like, there is a difference between pushing yourself and flagellating yourself. And you've got to figure that boundary out for yourself. But sometimes having people who are known in the fandom, who have been around the block a time or two, like the two of you, just being honest and saying like, this has been my fandom experience, is also instructive, because being around also means you know a lot of people, you've talked to a lot of people, and you've had a lot of experiences, and that's inherent in being known as well. And I think that that's a valuable, I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but a valuable service to the community and to those of us who are new, to kind of help us, give us the lay of the land.
I do think that it's just the truth that for most people, the way you figure out your boundaries is to test them a little and then go, oh, that was too far, and take a step back. And that's the human experience. We talked about, when we were talking about writing teenagers and children, we talked a lot about how that is the experience of being a teenager, is you don't have any of these boundaries yet, and you have to figure out where they all lie, and you have to push a lot of them. And many of them have been set on you by other people, and you have to learn how to push those aside as well. But also when you go, oh, wow, okay, no, that was a firm line, I am reeling that back in. And I think that there can be so much positivity and so much enthusiasm and also so much desire in fandom. Yes, please write that, I wanna see that. So much motivation of that nature that it can be sort of intoxicating. And you kind of have to push all those boundaries and see which ones make you fall on your face. But having a community that loves you and feeling like you have people who are supports for you and who either have been there or going through the same thing, who are like standing ready with the oven mitts to catch you when you trip so you don't hit your face quite as hard, is also, you know, perhaps that is actually the ideal way to do this process, because just being told, don't do that, that's too many events, you're gonna burn out, doesn't really help you figure out where your actual boundaries lie. But having someone who can say, when you're crying at 2 a.m., you know, you don't actually have to black out this bingo. You can stop right now. It's okay. You're still a good person and a good creator, and I still love you. That, like, that is actually the thing that lets you go, okay, I'm quitting that bingo, and it was too many, and next time I'm not gonna do that. And that's what, like, learning to participate in a community space in a way that doesn't use you up is. And if I'm at a place now where I can say, I'm not going to be manipulated into things I don't want to do, I'm not going to be guilted into being someone I'm not, and I'm not going to offer promises I can't keep because I'm not that person, a lot of that is because I spend a long time doing those things and going, wow, fandom isn't fun. And then saying, wait, no, there's still a lot I like about this. I just don't like doing some of the things other people want me to do, and or that I feel are naturally a part of this, or whatever the justification was. And if one can say I'm in a healthy place in fandom now, it, you know, it's from a lot of tripping.
It's so important to know your own boundaries and figure that out, and to put yourself first, which I think is hard sometimes for me. Because my nature is to generally try to please people. So figuring that out is key for staying around long-term. And it's hard, you know, we've seen lately, or it seems like lately, you know, so many of our creators who have left fandom for one reason or another. And a lot of times it's related to how fandom was making them feel, whether it was the demands or the negativity. And, you know, we want to avoid that if we can. As a healthy fandom, you know, we'd like to minimize that. Of course, there will always be some things we can't control and reasons that people want to leave or need to leave. But it does seem like, you know, we've had kind of some bumps in the road the past year or so with losing some creators. And for me, at least, you know, part of staying in the fandom and continuing to be a part of it is figuring out what my boundaries are. And that's kind of where I am at the moment, is just trying to figure out how I want to participate in fandom. I mean, I still love writing and I still love being a part of things. Just not really sure yet exactly what that's going to look like going forward. And that was probably to some degree my own fault for being very accessible and trying to please as many people as I could. I didn't really intend to do it. It just sort of happened. And it was hard to pull away from, but it was something that I needed to do. So figuring out that, you know, where your boundaries are and making sure that you enforce them. I think that's a very key part, at least for me, of being known.
It's a put your own oxygen mask on first kind of situation too.
Yeah.
Like if it's not selfish to say that if you're not okay, if you're not comfortable, if you're not happy, if you're not feeling motivated or empowered or safe, you can't be the person that you know you are. You can't be the person who's helping other people. You can't be a positive voice because you can't breathe. Like if you don't have your oxygen mask on, you can't help the people who can't get their own on. So I think that it really applies that there's a selfishness that is selfless. And this is definitely one of those cases where taking care of yourself and setting those boundaries so other people know what to expect of you and letting those boundaries change when you change, because we get older, we go through global pandemics, we have life changes. It means that, you know, sometimes you're gonna have to say, well, I gotta stop. I gotta go breathe right from the tank for a while. And, you know, as a community, we have to be forgiving of that and supportive of that, because as much as we love consuming what the other people produce, if we just suck it all out of them endlessly, they're going to burn out. It's inevitable. So maybe as a community, we can help better spot when other people are, you know, it's always easier to see in other people. I think you can, it sometimes takes someone else saying like, are you okay? you seem frustrated by everything, or you seem really tired, or, you know, I haven't heard from you in a while. And if we can sort of keep an eye out for those things with each other, then maybe we can help prevent other people going through that. Cause I don't think people talk enough about burnout in the things that you love to do. Like, it doesn't mean you don't love to do it anymore. It's just that anything that you do takes something from you, and you can only give so many pieces of you without restocking. And sometimes restocking is saying, I'm just not for a while. So.
And you know, Flame, you mentioned before about that comment that you got or comments on your fic and how much that bothered you. And I think I told you this in private message, but I'll just share it with the world. You know, I felt bad afterwards that I didn't more profoundly address that, because I think it's sometimes people don't really say how much it's bothering them. And I think I should have been better about reaching out and, you know, offering some assurances to the extent that I could. And I wish I'd done that, because, you know, we saw recently with Sci-Fi Girl, you know, who got some negative comments that were very upsetting, and fandom really rallied around her. And I'm sure that made her feel great. But, you know, that the feeling of how a comment like that or comments make you feel, you know, that happens to everybody, whether you're a big name fan or not. And I do think we need to be a little better when somebody does mention those issues about offering support, you know, for everyone, not just for the big name fans with the well-known stories that we don't want to lose, because, you know, everybody's a valuable member of this fandom in their own way. And I do think that I need to be better about that. And we as a fandom need to be better about that. And really embracing everybody's need for the occasional comfort and support, not just the big name fans.
I mean, it would be lovely. I said this to you in DMs, so I'll say it. And, you know, there was absolutely no way that you could have known that I wasn't okay. because it also wasn't something I said anything about, because it felt really silly to be so affected by something a stranger said about me. And I think some of it for some of us is acknowledging that the pain caused by negative reactions to this hobby is real.
Yeah.
You may not be able to say it to your outside, your offline friends. You may not be able to express it to your family, but it's not a silly thing. It's not nothing. If it hurts you, then it was hurtful. And that's what it comes down to. And I mean, when I got that particular, like the worst of the comments I got on Christmas Day, and I was already having not a great day because of reasons. And I just sat on the couch at my brother's house crying. And I remember thinking that I was that my only reaction at that point, the only emotional well I had left, the only thing I had was to DM Farrah and say, I'm out, tell everyone that I had a great time in fandom and I'm really, really grateful, but I can't do this anymore. And yeah. it wasn't just one comment. I should say it was about 17. I will never forget that number. It was 17. All saying very much the same thing that now I think they might've been sock puppety. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It was a lot of screaming at me that I was damaging and harmful and that I should leave fandom and I should be ashamed of myself and that I had ruined their lives. I had not their life, but I had given them nightmares, like all this kind of stuff that it doesn't, there was nothing I could do about it. Like there was no restitution. There was nothing in community about it. There was no way for me to be like, all I could say was I was sorry. And at the same time be like, but also you didn't check the tags. But it didn't, like, there was no logic. There was just pain. And I felt like I should have been stronger. And like, if I had gone onto the Discord and been like, guys, I think I'm leaving fandom. I know that there's so many people that would have been wonderful and lovely. And you guys would have been two of them, obviously. Fair, I would assume you would have talked me out of leaving fandom if I had said that. And
don't worry, guys, I won't let her.
Thank you.
I'll sit on her.
It's actually me who's in Ferret's basement, not the other way around. but I also didn't feel like I could be that vulnerable with the community. And that's something I need to work on too. And that it's very easy to, I don't know, this is a little bit messy, so go with me here. But like, I think about in a lot of servers, we have rules of like, if you're going to ask for help, like this is it for your fic, like this is how you ask. Like, this is what we want you to say, and this is what we do it. In a way that could be really helpful for like, I'm posting this negative comment and what I need from all of you right now is to be mad with me. Or right. what I need is somebody to go read the fic and tell me if this person is right. And if this is valid criticism or them being a dick. Like, this is what I need from this moment. And that might help some of the stuff too. Cause at that time, all I needed was to hear not platitudes, not quick messages. I needed legitimately honest people to be like, no, that person's an outlier. We do want you here. You are a valuable member. And that made me feel like if I asked for that, that people would be like, oh my God, Flame, of course you know that you're valuable, blah, 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 blah. You're just being silly. And that wasn't what I needed.
Right.
Because the pain in that moment was not silly. Being stalked across different platforms and being told that you are damaging to fandom, which I am one small microcosm of people that have experienced that, is not silly. And it's part of the community's job as well to be specific in how we can support people in the midst of that, but also like just hear us, I guess, if the three of us have any power of words at all. The shitty comments are shitty and they just are for whatever reason. However you feel about them is how you feel about them.
And I guess to circle it back around, it's not discounted or meaningless or less hurtful because you are popular in fandom. The stuff that's personal, that's really, like we talked about how sometimes the negative stuff is easier to deal with when you've got positive stuff to weigh it out with. But as we were saying, when it's personal like that, it doesn't matter. Everybody's the same size when someone's stomping on you. And it really doesn't, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, Flame doesn't need as much support because she knows she's great because she's got all this great stuff. When it's something personal and it's about you and whether you are a good person or whether you're a smart person or whether you are a hurtful person, it's just on another level that the only way through that is emotional support. And regardless of whether you've got one fic and two kudos or 765 fics and 2 million kudos, it's always going to come for you the same way, because that's not about the quality of your art. It's about the quality of you as a person. And we're all sensitive about that.
Yeah. And so we go back to, you know, as well, the first rule of fandom is first do no harm and then do you. And that applies to everybody, regardless of where they stand in the weird, I'll just call it out. It's weird. It's weird to know that because we talk into microphones or write fic or are popular on Tumblr that other people know who we are for writing superheroes. It's a little weird. It's beautiful, but it's a little weird. And it's a weird feeling. And it's again, it's just kind of odd. And it's beautiful and odd to me that I get comments that are like, I printed out your fic and I took it to my therapist and it really helped. And I'm like, oh my God. Like,
oh God, no.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I hope that was positive. And that kind of power in someone's life that you do not know the legal name of, is a very specific emotion that a lot of like my offline friends have no concept of how to engage with at all. That's not anything that they get. They love that people like my fic and they're very supportive of it, but they don't really know what this means. And so at whatever point you fall along the known unknown spectrum of this beautiful little kingdom that we've built, I think the best advice that we can all take is a little bit of both what Saber and Ferret said. Know your own boundaries and be the change you want to see in the world. And remember that all of us are human, regardless of our stats, we are all human.
Saber, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. It has been an absolute delight. And hopefully our listeners are still with us, because boy, can we all chat.
Well, thank you both. I enjoyed it. Always good to talk to you, and looking forward to listening to the rest of the pod.